What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Well, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Marius, Tack Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison? Swangles in Fort Lauderdale.
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. How the hell are you? Oh, I certainly do appreciate you checking out the show. We know you have so many options out there. If you don't mind, if it's not too much to ask, if you like the show, please rate it and write a little comment about it. It does help. It helps with the algorithm, and I certainly would appreciate it. And then, of course, if you are so inclined, feel free to share the show. That's the way it grows, and I appreciate your help with that. And we couldn't do the show without the amazing support of our sponsors. C60 Purple Power has been with us for the last couple of months, and I am so thankful that they have been. I've been taking their products. I feel amazing. I feel great. I've been very vocal about my sweet old cat. She's still doing well. She's taking hers every morning against her will, but you know, that's my job. So she's feeling good. What C60 is C60 is, it was theorized by Buckminster Fuller back in the 60s and 70s, and eventually it was actually discovered in the late 80s by a group of scientists who wound up winning the Nobel Prize for it. It's a naturally occurring molecule. It's comprised of 60 carbon atoms that forms a hollow soccer ball. It's what it looks like. It's a spherical cage. They call it a free radical sponge. It has the ability to neutralize free radicals that are roaming through your system and then reset itself and then do this again and again and again. It is, without a doubt, the most powerful antioxidant known. It's hundreds of times more powerful than anything out there. And what it does is it helps to maximize the efficiency of your cells in producing energy, but it may also provide a form of cellular protection against many toxic environmental factors. And God knows we're living in a environmental soup of radiation and radio waves and all kinds of crazy stuff. So, look, go to c60purplepower.com and just read up on it. If it's something that you like, if it's something that you feel is a good fit for you, then use the promo code MACRO to save yourself some money. The product has not been approved by the FDA. I'm not too concerned about that. I know that they're just a shakedown operation, but you know, we got to say that legally. So I'm saying it, but go to c60purplepower.com and take a look and see if it's right for you. And also, good Lord, man, if you haven't prepared yourself for the incoming insanity, then you better get started. We have had the good fortune of having My Patriot Supply be involved with us for about a year now. They even built a website for us called preparewithmacroaggressions.com. You can just go there and buy whatever you want, and you'll get a discount on the 4-week supply of food. They've got emergency survival food. They've got survival items. They have water filtration systems. They have air purification systems. They've got a lot going on. So it's, look, get prepared, whether you do it at My Patriot Supply through our website, or you do it individually on your own by stocking up at Costco or wherever. Please, please, please take the additional step of using this information that you've gotten from listening to shows like mine and others, and then acting on it, because this is a situation where you want to be early. You don't want to be late. We saw what could happen with the insanity of toilet paper shortages, and that was just like a test run. So, you know, you saw how poorly behaved Americans were with that. Could you imagine when the food runs out? Holy moly, they'll be stabbing each other with pencils trying to, you know, get a bag of rice. So don't participate in that nonsense. Get yourself sort of prepared well in advance so that you can sit back and eat your proverbial popcorn while you watch all the insanity unfold. So you can go to preparewithmacroaggressions.com and save yourself some money. So, you know, speaking of the insanity of the world and the chaos and infighting that we've seen over 2020 and into 2021 as well, it made me think that the term the United States of America is pretty much a misnomer. I don't see much unity in the states. In fact, I see the exact opposite. I see some states doing one thing, another set of states doing something completely different. And it's like parallel lives or parallel universes, you know? I mean, especially in the context of the COVID situation, the response to it, the mask mandates, the vaccine rollouts, the vaccine passport conversation, all this stuff. I mean, it's a polarizing topic on its face, but you can see the polarization manifest itself in the form of certain states making different decisions, wildly different decisions, about how to deal with the COVID situation. We are not the United States of America. We are the divided states of America. And frankly, maybe that's not the worst thing. You know, I'm not calling for secession. I'm not doing that. Because I feel that, you know, part of what Jeff Berwick and I wrote about in our book, The Controlled Demolition of the American Empire, is that in order for this one world government plan that they have in place in store for us to be successful, you have to destroy the American Empire. Because it's such a powerful force in this whole thing. And you can't have a one world government if you have an empire that isn't participating. So they have to be brought into the fold. They have to be part of it. We in America have to be part of this. I do realize this is an international show. By the way, thank you all for listening and in countries all over the world. Feel free to send me an email. Let me know where you're listening. I would appreciate it. The Octopus of Global Control at protonmail.com. So, you know, I have mixed emotions about the divided states of America, because if you are trying to take down the American empire, God knows they're working on it. You would do something along the lines of trying to break up the United States, make them less united. Get red states fighting against blue states, get poor people fighting against rich people, or black people fighting against white people. That's an old trick. Of course, we know that. But to get them sort of seeing each other as the enemy and break this thing apart from the inside. I mean, I think people always sort of assume that the destruction of the American empire, if they've even given it much thought, but if they have, they maybe make the assumption that that will come from some external force in the way of like a war or a, you know, an external force manipulating America into a bad situation. That it's not an external war that will break up America. It's an internal war. And it's working. I mean, I've been alive. I've been an American for 48 years, almost 49. And yeah, I wasn't paying attention all the time. You know, there was a large chunk of my life when I was blissfully ignorant to all of this. But I still had eyeballs and I still had a functioning brain and I could see some things. And I've never seen us this divided. The closest I saw was, I was going to say the closest I saw was the Rodney King riots, but that's not even really fair because I don't know anybody that was on the side of the police. But we saw civil unrest. I saw civil unrest for the first time in my life. I had obviously heard about Kent State and, you know, and all of these sorts of things that had happened before and the protests, the anti-war protests in Vietnam, but it was before my time. I wasn't born then. So I didn't live through it. It's all theoretical to me when you see it in a documentary or read it in a textbook, but to live through it, you know, I got a taste of that in 92 being at USC when the riots kicked off and you see how quickly things can unravel, you know, how it can go from like everything's fine to everything's most definitely not fine. And, you know, I had a funny experience. There was a guy that I knew was like, after the riots and everything, he was like, man, he's like, I've got all these videos from the video store down the street. He's like, but he's like, I guess I don't have to take them back because I watched the video store burn on television, you know? So it's like one day everything's fine. The next thing things are on fire. And in 2020, I think for a lot of people, yeah, maybe you saw it in Ferguson a little bit or maybe Occupy Wall Street about a decade earlier, but really the summer of 2020 was when people got a chance to actually see how divided and how on edge everybody was. And not for nothing, right? You know what I mean? There were reasons to be up in arms about what had happened with the George Floyd situation. I'm not going to get into a whole diatribe about that, but let's just say that, I mean, it was reasonable for people to be outraged by that. It's not to say it was the only reason. I mean, I've been very upfront that Tamir Rice's murder should have sparked that, but way before George Floyd, but whatever. It was a physical manifestation of the frustration that a lot of people had been feeling for a long, long time with those riots. But it was also hard to really measure exactly what the frustration was from. Yes, the George Floyd situation was the spark, but it wasn't the only thing that was fueling that. You had people being cooped up in their house for, you know, a couple of months. The fear of the virus that was, you know, the media is pumping constantly, which, you know, may or may not be a real fear for some people. The fear of the economic component of it, people losing jobs, that impacted everybody. I mean, that was, if it didn't happen to you, it happened to somebody that you knew, or it happened to a store where you used to go or whatever, a restaurant. So the frustration and fear and uncertainty for the corona situation was part of that fuel as well. So I understand why people are so bent out of shape. I mean, these days, after the election, you have at least 75 million people that voted for Donald Trump. And I'm not going to say that all of them are enthusiastic Trump supporters. You know, I think a large segment are. But I also acknowledge there's probably a segment that are just like, I'm a Republican. I vote for whoever's the Republican. I don't like Trump, but he's my guy. He's on my team, so I'll vote for him. Or I don't want anything to do with Joe Biden. You know, get out of here. I don't know. I'm still trying to find more than like a handful of people that I know that think that the election was legit. Like that Biden actually got almost 80 million votes. I'll never believe that. I just won't. And God, I feel it's so stupid that I have to kind of preface this every time, but I feel like I have to in the environment that we're in. And if you've been listening to this show for any extended period of time, you understand, you probably have heard this too many times, but look, once again, I'm not on the Trump team. And I'm not on the Biden team. I don't like either of them. I don't like the two-party system. It's designed to create tension. It's designed to create animosity and keep us fighting with ourselves. But look, when you've got 75 million people in one country, the United States, which works out to be maybe a little bit under a quarter of the population. For now, obviously the population might be going down. That's a different episode if we want to get into Deagle. But you've got basically a quarter of the population of the United States that feel that the election was stolen from them and that the guy in the White House right now is a green screen president. He's fake. I mean, he's a phony for sure. He's always been a phony, but there are people that believe that he should not be in the White House. So think about that, man. Think about what that does to people. You want to talk about division? Holy shit. I mean, if you spend 4 years thinking that the president of the United States stole the election, how willing are you going to be to like go along to get along? I mean, you're going to be a pain in the ass, you know, and rightfully so, if that's your belief, if you think that it was stolen. Now, I understand that there's a segment of the left that thinks that Trump stole the election through his Russian connection from Hillary Clinton. Okay. So they just spent 4 years thinking that they had an illegitimate president. And what did that do? It created massive chaos. Nothing really, you know, I can't say nothing got done, but everything that got done, it was a battle, you know, to get it done. And every time Trump said anything, the left and the media would just attack him for it, for no matter what it was. I mean, it got to the point where me, not even liking Donald Trump, didn't like that guy before he came into office. I think I know real estate developers. I've been in real estate for 20 years. They're the sketchiest people I've ever met. They're almost uniformly psychopathic in nature. So I'm not a Trump fan, but I found myself defending him against the unhinged left. So, you know, 4 years of the divisiveness of Trump created a major rift. I mean, I used to be kind of, I'm kind of socially liberal, you know, like I'm like, I don't care. Do what you want to do. Like, as long as you're not hurting anybody, you're not hurting kids. If you want to be, you know, whatever your sexuality is none of my business. Whatever your religion is none of my, I'm very libertarian in that sense. It's like, as long as you're not infringing on my rights and you're doing your own thing and you're not hurting people, you know, I can't judge you. I mean, I could, but I probably shouldn't. God knows I've got unconventional thoughts, and probably a lot of you have unconventional thoughts too. And the idea to be attacked for them, it never feels good. So, you know, to each his own within reason, right? But I don't feel that is reciprocated by the unhinged left. So though I used to be sort of like or I am sort of like liberal in my feeling of like kind of do your own thing and, you know, it's none of my business. I find that they make it my business in some instances by doing the things that they're doing. Like transvestite story hour for 4-year olds. I'm sorry. I have a problem with that. Not with transgendered people or anything like that. But do we have to start the indoctrination that young? I mean, and I'm not talking about like somebody that is just, you know, mild-mannered. I'm talking about the videos I've seen where it's like the most cartoonish character with a skirt with no underwear on, kneeling down, you know, cross-legged style, teaching a bunch of 4-year-olds and rolling over backwards and showing their whatever, I mean, whatever it is to them. I have some problems with that. I have some problems with the way the left behaves. I have some problems with the way the right behaves as well. Let me be clear about that. But the divided states of America, man, it is happening at a time when we can really least afford it. Because if we were to take a step back and strategize about where we should go or what we should do in 2021 and beyond, I think that the best formula for getting through this together, you know, in one piece with our mental health, our physical health, and not being put in some sort of new digital gulag, is that we all come together to fight the predator class and sort them out first, because they are the source of our problems. They are the ones that want us fighting against one another. They're the ones that are pushing the narratives and the agendas through their controlled, their captured mainstream media. So they are creating division as a matter of standard operating procedure, because the best way to control for the few to control the many is to get us divided into smaller groups and then get those smaller groups to fight with each other constantly. You don't have to be a genius to figure out that strategy. It's not very complicated, works pretty damn well. So if we were able to have a nationwide meeting, we should come to an agreement that if we ranked and prioritized who the problems were in this world, in general, but in the United States in particular, the predator class would be at the top of the list. They would be the most pressing. So it would be fantastic if we could do that. But I feel like, and I hate saying this because I feel like I don't even want to manifest this, but I feel like it might even be a little bit too late. You know, it might be... It might just be that we are too different. The conservatives and the liberals. And I have to kind of preface this by saying it's more of the extremes of each end. You know, there's a whole segment of the population that sort of sits in the middle and doesn't get too bothered by this stuff. There are some people that are kind of liberal, and there are some people that are kind of conservative, and they just don't feel that they have a dog in this fight necessarily. They're not as wedded to these politicians, but the people that are hardcore Trump and the people that are hardcore Biden, all 14 of them, they should, for their own well-being, check that for just give it 6 months. Just put it off to the side for 6 months. Come together to go after who the real problem is. It's not just these people, the Klaus Schwabs and the Faucis and the Bill Gateses and all of these people. It's the institutions that they control as well. God knows I hate the corporate mainstream whore media. I mean, that is established. The medical, you know, the big pharma is a dangerous institution. Wearing a mask of a savior, but that is just skin deep I promise you, they have no love for you, except to the extent that you can be generating a profit for them that they can count on year in and year out. The tech oligarchs, you know, that's a slippery slope there, because so much of what we do is predicated on this technology, and it's a part of this, the technological advancements that we have. The fact that I'm able to record this podcast and get it out to, you know, tens of thousands of people is amazing to me. But that's a result of the technology. And so I am respectful of that, and I am grateful for that. But I also know that there is a component of that industry that has a different agenda, and it has to do with silencing alternative opinions, anybody that gets away from the established narrative, and they're very dirty in how they play their game. So that institution needs to be dealt with. The people that are running the social media platforms, you know who I'm talking about. They're part of the problem. They are a tool for the division. Now, I understand that, you know, Jack Dorsey didn't wake up one morning and decide he's going to do this. He's being told what to do by people at the CFR, by people at the Atlantic Council, by people at the CIA. You know, dig into the history of Google, dig into the history of Facebook. Go look and see where they got their money. Go look. Yeah, Facebook got $500,000 from Peter Thiel for 10% stake. Where'd Peter Thiel get his money? I mean, he got it from selling PayPal with Elon Musk. But he's had ties to the CIA and the Defense Department and DARPA for decades. I mean, as evidenced by Palantir. And the fact that they receive 97% of their revenue from the United States government. I mean, it's a government private contractor. That's their entire purpose. So these people in the industries, people running the show, allegedly running the show, Mark Zuckerberg can't code. Everybody knows that. You know, the guys that found, you know, Sergey Brin and Larry Page, I mean, where'd they get their money? They got it from InQtel, which is the venture capital arm of the CIA. So this was never accidental. They don't leave this sort of stuff to chance. We have big problems in these industries. Let's take the fourth industry as well. Wall Street / the big banks. I mean, you want to talk about predatory institutions, the Federal Reserve, the Bank for International Settlements, Bank of England, these central banking establishments, they're part of this. They're part of the divide. They get a 2-for-1. They get to divide people and make tons of money in the process. So all the big banks, you know, when it comes time for a handout, they're always the first people to get it. The people that need it the least. And they've contributed to this division. They have been a massive part of the problem. You know, shout out to Texas and Florida. And Greg Abbott and Ron DeSantis there. I have my problems with Ron DeSantis, believe me. But it's not for his handling of COVID. Now, am I going to wave the flag and be a big cheerleader for these people? I will never do that. Absolutely not. But credit where credit is due, right? Ron DeSantis, with the mask situation, said, we're not doing it anymore. He's opened up the state. And if that story I read is to be believed, he also, when Biden said that he was going to close down Florida to inbound travel, the word is that Ron DeSantis told him on the phone to go fuck himself. So, I mean, he may turn out to be the next president of the United States in 2024. Because people are tired of the bullshit. And the contradictions state to state has been stark, you know? Greg Abbott in Texas removes the mask mandate. What do we see? That brand new Texas Ranger Stadium filled up pretty quick on when it was opened up, opening day, right? Looked pretty good to have 40-something thousand people in there. What did the left do? What did Biden do? Called it Neanderthal thinking. And the hysterics out there screamed that now what you guys have done is this is a super spreader event, and now we are going to have to go start the clock all over again and stay back in our houses because you guys are screwing this up, and you're going to kill everybody, and why aren't you dead yet, and don't ever mention the fact that we were all out in the streets celebrating when Biden won and said that that was a non-factor, hypocritically. But everyone in the Texas Rangers game is gonna die. Where are all the deaths? Where are they? They should all be dead by now. You haven't been wearing a mask since this whole thing started. Yeah. And I'm doing just fine. Are you disappointed in that? That's, I think, the most interesting component of this is that the tolerant left can't wait to tell you to put on a mask and social distance and take the vaccines and all this stuff. And when you do none of those things, when you don't participate in it, you know what they want? They want you to die just to prove them right. So it's clearly not some altruistic endeavor where they say, oh, please take put the masks on and social distance and take the vaccine so that you don't die from this. No. They don't give a flying fuck about you dying from this. They would prefer you to die from this. They want you to do what they want you to do because they said do it. They don't like people that don't follow the rules because it makes them look like a bunch of cucks, which they are. They've done everything. I followed the rules. I wore 3 masks. I wore them in my car. When I go jogging, I wear 4 masks just to be safe. Congratulations. Simon Says, you're a retard. I mean, this is so when the other people don't do that, when the other people look at them and rightly think, you guys are insane. I'm not participating in this collective delusion that you're pitching here about mass deaths. I'm not participating in this. Well, when you don't do that, when you don't show the same level of fear that they're showing, it makes them feel like maybe they're a bit ridiculous. And they don't want to feel that way. They want to feel important. They have to feel important. But you know, I have come to understand the conservative mindset over the last 5 or 6 years, it seems. I've come to appreciate it, frankly. So I'm not super conservative though, but I can appreciate their attention to, not in all cases, but their desire to be left alone and their desire to, kind of every man for himself. Like I'll do me, you do you, you know, you want to wear the mask. And you want to get the shots, and you want to social distance, and you want to lock your whole state down, and you want to close the schools, and you want to close the and you want to do all that stuff. Well, you do it then. But don't come tell me that I have to do it. So I can appreciate that. I can appreciate that line of thinking. But you know, what is obvious, if we get objective about this, is that nobody wants to be in California or New York or Illinois or New Jersey anymore. There's a mass exodus out of those states. all Democratic states, all poorly run by their governors, all had mass chaos, all had authoritarian crackdowns by their governors and mayors. I mean, hell, Garcetti in Los Angeles said that if you open your, you know, if you open your store, he'll cut the water off. That's, I mean, I don't know. I'm not a lawyer. That's got to be illegal, right? I feel like that's got to be illegal. I don't know for sure. The compassionate left. Not to mention the staggering amounts of hypocrisy from these leaders. Gavin Newsom dining out at French Laundry with two, you know, with a dozen other people sitting around like the American psycho that he is, maskless, inside eating in a restaurant, as he should be, by the way, as he should be, but everyone should be. The problem is when it's rules for thee, but not for me. You know what I mean? That's the that's what makes people insane. That's what gets the torches and pitchforks and guillotines out, is when you start pulling shit like that. And they have taken, California has brought out the proverbial guillotines in the form of a recall of Gavin Newsom. And I mean, if this isn't peak 2021, I don't know what is. The fact that Gavin Newsom could be recalled and replaced by Caitlyn Jenner, aka Bruce Jenner. I mean, if that happens, I am positive that we are living in a simulation. It has to be. There's no other explanation for how that could happen. Have you ever seen that meme of Howard Cosell? It's Howard Cosell and he's got OJ Simpson on one side and Bruce Jenner on the other side, and they all have microphones. They're announcing some, I don't know, probably the Olympics or something. And the writing underneath it is, "Ladies and gentlemen, I have seen the future and you ain't going to believe this shit." Yeah. We have OJ Simpson on Twitter giving his analysis of the Derek Chauvin trial. I mean, I'm pretty sure that is one of the signs of the apocalypse. I'm almost positive. And the second sign is definitely Caitlyn Jenner becoming the governor of California. I mean, if those two things happen, it's time to start looking for another planet to move to. But to be fair, the unknown of Bruce Jenner, I'm just going to call him Bruce Jenner. I can't do the Caitlyn Jenner thing. The artist formerly known as Bruce Jenner, running California, has got to be better than Gavin Newsom. That's the craziest thing. It's like Trump becoming president and that being better than Hillary Clinton being president. You're like, thank God Trump won. And you're like, wait, did I even think that? Holy shit. But in the back of my mind, I was thinking, well, it's better than Hillary Clinton. Not by much. So all of these states, you know, the divided states of America, they're divided by laws as well. It's not just necessarily cultural or philosophical. It's also legal. There's major differences between from state to state. And for those of you that aren't from the United States, I'm not sure how much of this you know, but there are some states that don't have a state tax, meaning there's a federal tax in the United States that everybody pays. And then depending on where you live, which state you live in, there may be an additional tax. And like in California, Gavin Newsom wants to push it up from like 13.3% to like 16%. So you're already at like 50% of your income is gone. And you live in California, which is a great place. I lived in California for over 35 years. But if you feel like you're not getting anything for that, like if you just drive around, you'll see tent cities everywhere. If you go to Santa Monica, which has always had a really large homeless population because of their city ordinances, it's overrun with homeless people. And I'm not trying to shit on the homeless people. They're in a bad situation. I'm just saying there are so many homeless people because California is so poorly managed. And yet they have one of the highest tax rates in the country. So people are leaving. But there are the states without state tax are Alaska, Tennessee, Wyoming, Florida, New Hampshire, South Dakota, Texas, Washington, and Nevada. And they have different forms of taxes. You know, there's sales tax when you buy things. I mean, they tax the shit out of you, all these places. Oregon has a state tax, but it doesn't have sales tax. So that's kind of a nice little bonus, but whatever. They legally divided these states up. Same with marijuana. Marijuana is legal in California, Oregon, Washington, Nevada, Arizona, Colorado, Montana, South Dakota, Illinois, Michigan, New York, New Jersey, Massachusetts, Maine, Vermont, and Alaska. But God forbid you drive through Tennessee, you buy weed in you buy weed in Illinois, you drive a couple hours away to Ohio, and it's illegal. And you're like, yeah, but it's legal. Like when I cross that imaginary line over there, I can do this. But when I come back over that imaginary line, now I go to jail for it. I mean, can you understand the confusion, the hypocrisy of that? It's yet another way of dividing us. And how stupid that over all of this, there's still a federal law making marijuana a Schedule I drug, which means it has no medicinal value. And yet half of the states have it legalized for medical use. How can it be federally illegal and be designated in that classification with other drugs, saying that it has no medical value, and yet on the state level be not only like legal for medical purposes, but just flat out legal? Like I live in Colorado. I can go to the weed store and buy up to, 800 milligrams of weed. So like if you buy a bottle of edibles, gummies, you could buy like 8 of those at one time. And then, but then tomorrow I can go in and do this. I can go buy another one. And if you have a medical license for it, because there's different designations, I think you're uncapped, or the cap is much higher. So there's so much confusion, and yet it's just another way that we've divided this. We've divided the country. We've divided it into governors that are authoritarian maniacs, like Gavin Newsom in California, Kate Brown in Oregon, Jay Inslee in Washington, J.B. Pritzker in Illinois, Tom Wolf in Pennsylvania. These people are out of their minds. All Democratic. All on the Build Back Better team, which means that they're on the World Economic Forum agenda of trying to destroy this country in order to build it back better. And then you've got Republican governors Ron DeSantis and Greg Abbott that we talked about, Kristi Noem. She's going, no, we're not doing any of this stuff. Why wouldn't you take a look at these states? Why do you think the Joe Rogans and Elon Musks of the world and Tim Dillons, guys that can be anywhere, why do you think they're moving to Texas? To get away from this stuff. But even on social issues, the legal component divides people further and further. Same-sex marriages. They are not allowed. In 2021, same-sex marriages are not allowed in North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, Missouri, Kentucky, Arkansas, Louisiana, Texas, Mississippi, Tennessee, Georgia, Michigan, and Ohio. Same-sex marriage, not allowed. But you can go one state over and you can. Why? Who cares? Make it legal for it. Who gives a shit? They make it yet another thing to divide you about. Open carry of firearms is prohibited in Idaho, New Mexico, Arkansas, Delaware, and Rhode Island. So if you live in a state that borders another state, you have to be careful where you are. If you cross the state line, you may be doing something illegal in that new state that you've just gone into that is different from your home state that you just left 45 minutes ago. Civil asset forfeiture varies from state to state on the burden of proof that's required for them to confiscate your stuff. I get it. Not every state is the same, you know. There's differences and there's people that vote, but we're not a homogenous nation of people with very similar beliefs. We have very divergent thoughts on a lot of these topics. And boy, I mean, you could make yourself insane trying to jump from state to state to go, well, which state has the things that I like? And, maybe I should move there. And it was never really much of a discussion before the COVID situation. But, when you're living in a hellhole like Los Angeles or San Francisco or New York or Chicago, and you've seen what has happened and that the governors in your state have just allowed the most insane policies at the expense of logic and reason and common sense, then you go, I'm out of here. I mean, why somebody would stay in New York City unless they absolutely positively had no choice but to stay? I mean, why you wouldn't be looking to move somewhere else is beyond me. And I can say that as somebody that lived in California for a long, long time and Las Vegas for 9 years. And I left California specifically because of SB 277, the vaccine mandate. I just said, I'm out of here. We're not doing this. And we put our money where our mouth was and we moved because of what we saw. So now after 2020 and the insane restrictions that were going on in these big cities and the, mostly peaceful protests and all that dog shit, you have people going, well, okay, I'm leaving here. Where should I go? And now it matters. Now you're actually taking a look. Well, who has my same views on same-sex marriage or open carry or mask mandates or, marijuana legalization or who's got the most freedoms? I'm in the market for freedoms. Who's got the most freedoms? Ron DeSantis is standing up going, well, we've got some. Greg Abbott is going, we've got some as well. Christy Noem, same thing. Hey, guys want to come to South Dakota? Look at what we're doing. Pretty awesome. She started running like tourism ads for it. Like, come move here. And you know what? People are. I mean, look at the people that are moving to Idaho is insane. The people from Northern California, from Seattle, from Portland, they're like, no, thank you. We don't want another Chaz going on in downtown Seattle. I think I'll leave and go to Boise. Well, good luck finding a house there. They're going through the roof. Same with Vegas. I should know. I work in Vegas real estate. By the way, if anyone wants to buy or sell their house in Las Vegas, let me know. I can help you out with that. It's a lot harder on the buying side. I mean, there's even the Greater Idaho Project. You heard about that? Where they want to incorporate parts of Northern California and parts of Oregon, I think even parts of Washington, into Idaho. And there's a lot of people that think that's a pretty good idea. What about voter ID laws? Is that something that matters to you? It matters to Major League Baseball. Of course, they didn't do their homework. Moved the All-Star game from Atlanta to Denver and didn't realize that the voting laws were even more strict in Denver. Oops. Illinois is the first state to end cash bail under the guise of stopping racism. But, and Biden and Harris want to roll this out nationally. Now, I have mixed emotions about that because I don't think people should be rounded up and put in jail on victim, you know, for victimless crimes and things like that, drug use, drug possession. I'm, like I said, I'm a more libertarian slash anarchist in my views about that stuff. But the cash bail situation is, you know, it's part of what created also a revolving door. Some of these people were getting, you know, rioting in Chicago and then getting let out immediately and going back and doing it again and again and again. And in Portland, it was happening, people posting their bail for them. Mostly peaceful protests. Maybe your hot button issue is abortion laws. I mean, maybe it's not the reason why you would move from state to state, but it's something that you, that matters. Like in Oklahoma, the law requires women to receive counseling and wait 24 hours before getting an abortion. You know? So everyone's doing things a little bit different. And it's almost like they're recruiting for, hey, you want to come live in my state? Well, I don't know. What do you got? We got no mask mandates. We're open, 100% open. We have no state tax, Florida. Great weather. We got a governor that'll fight for you. Florida looks pretty good if you're coming out of New York. Florida looks pretty good if you're coming out of New York normally, you know? But it's looking even better now. You know, we've got division in this country for the woke mob versus the logical mob. The woke ideologies that are getting infiltrated into the schools, and they're starting to, you know, talk about critical race theory and stuff like that in these schools. And parents are going, what the fuck is going on here? I didn't sign up for this. You never said this was going to be part of the curriculum. I don't want anything to do with this. Get this stuff out. The lunatics are running the asylum right now. And every dormant authoritarian has been activated, it seems like. You know what I mean? Like everybody that was like a closeted authoritarian, they've shown themselves after the COVID situation. You know, put your mask on. Get the fuck out of this grocery store. You don't have a mask on. Get out of here. Oh, really? The Fuhrer would be very proud of you. Don't ever fight on behalf of the Empire. They will use you up and throw you away. So if you're out there trying to enforce insane dictates that aren't even laws, by the way, but just dictates, like you got to wear the masks and you got to do all this stuff, you are serving the state. And I will never respect people that serve the state, not that state. I'm not talking about being patriotic or being appreciative of the things that you have, the opportunities that you have. And in the United States, there are far more opportunities than in some countries. And a lot of people lose sight of that in America. A lot of people that come to the United States are very appreciative of that. But I'll tell you what I don't appreciate. I don't appreciate some know-nothing trying to tell me that I have to do what he says, i.e. not come into a restaurant because of masks or things like whatever, when I owe them no allegiance at all. It is literally not my job to listen to you. I don't care what you tell me to do. I'm not interested in it. I'm not part. You're not my boss. You're not the authority, so you can fuck right off. And normally, you know, it's just like most people don't feel enabled to do that. But not after 2020. These busybodies think that they've got, like, they're saving the world by wearing multiple masks, and they're not. They're just gullible. They just don't understand that there's a gigantic scam being run against them. They're the last people to know. I would under normal circumstances, I would feel empathy towards them. But I don't. Not now. Not when the woke mob is fighting the logical mob. I have no respect for them. I have no respect for their opinions. I simply do not care what they have to say. It's not interesting. It is a form of mental illness. It is a slave mentality. I don't mean that to be disrespectful to the former slaves of 150 years ago, but it has some of the earmarks of a slavery system. And I just refuse to participate in that. A subset of that insane left are also the climate change maniacs. And what we saw, if you were able to catch the clip of James O'Keefe from Project Veritas exposing the CNN situation where they were talking about Trump and they were saying how they made up all the, you know, they ran these stories that they knew they hadn't corroborated and they just ran them anyway to make Trump look bad. What the one guy, the producer, said was that, well, we're really pivoting towards climate change now. So get ready for it. Get ready for all of these activated weirdos that are on the you got to get your vaccines, or I got my Fauci ouchie, or look at my stupid tattoo that I put on my arm of my, you know, commemorating when I got my Moderna shot and everything. Man, when the cattle brand themselves, then you know the propaganda is working very well. And what an embarrassment. But it's coming. All of those people that you see in your social media feed that are doing dances in hospitals or doing vaccine TikTok commercials or whatever they're doing, that's all coming times a million for climate change. And I suspect that there will be states that treat this the same way they treat COVID. There will be some governors that see through this for the outright fraud that it is. And to be clear, the climate change concept is one of the biggest frauds out there. It's a separate episode. I've done this before. Actually, if you're curious about this and you want to go and you're willing to go back about two or three years to Tinfoil Hat, I went on Sam's show and I did an episode. I think he named it the Paris Climate Accord, something like that. But I've written about it in my books with the chapter name Carbon Tax Hustle. It's a gigantic tax scam. It's the biggest fraud out there. And you shall know that because CNN has decided to go all in on it. So you know just by that there's something not right about it. But I encourage you to dig into some of my previous stuff on climate change. Or you can get the Octopus book. I spell it out pretty well in there. I did enough, but I could write a whole book on it. And maybe I will. But my point of it is that the divisiveness of these topics, COVID, climate change, all these agendas, there's going to be a certain large percentage of the population that just falls in line. No critical thinking, turn on their television, tell me who to hate, tell me who I'm mad at, tell me who's killing the world, and I'll hate them. You know, there's a large percentage that are just going to do that. No critical thinking, no research, no digging in, no nothing. They're just going to say, I'm a good little soldier and I'm going to get on board and I'm going to throw my lawnmower away and buy a new eco lawnmower and I'm going to do this and I'm going to turn my power off at night when I go to bed and I'm going to make sure that there's, I'm going to, I'm going to cut my, you know, I'm going to kill three of my kids so that they're not contributing to the car. I mean, you know what I mean? It's, there will be some people that will do, take the climate situation and double mask it. If you know what I'm, double mask it in their car by themselves. If you know what I'm getting at, they will take it to the nth degree in a preposterous and cartoonish type of way. And of course, we will be there laughing at them. But you better get ready for, you think it was bad with you're killing grandma. Well, it'll be you're killing the polar bears. You're killing the planet. How dare you kill this planet? I want to send you to Mars. I wish you'd fucking go to Mars with Elon Musk. Well, get ready. Because the lunatics will be out in full force. And those Extinction Rebellion morons, boy, they're unemployable. I mean, it looked like the parking lot of a Grateful Dead concert, if you've ever watched one of those. And I'll be quite clear to you, I've been in the parking lot of a couple Grateful Dead concerts. I know what the fuck I'm talking about. It's all that minus the nitrous balloons and the sprout sandwiches or whatever they're serving out of the trunk of their car. Ugh. But I fear this. Because I don't know if the United States of America can handle another polarizing topic like climate change and what that means and what that will do to us to further divide us. I think it is possible, and I'm not going to assign a percentage to this, but I think it is possible for the United States to break up. And frankly, I'm not even sure that that's the worst thing that could happen to us. Because we are coming at this world from two very different angles. And it is hard for me to understand the thinking of the lunatic left. And I realize that by saying that, it kind of puts me in the camp of the conservative right. And I don't want to be in either camp, to be honest with you. But I must confess that I feel like the conservative right has a better grip on reality than their counterparts. It's frustrating to see this because the problems are with the predator class. And if we were able to wave a magic wand and suspend our animosity with each other just for a little bit till we could sort those people out, I think it would go a whole long way towards making this country and this world a much better place, because they truly are the source of so many of our problems. And there's a few of them, and we are the many. We are the ants, and they are the grasshoppers. It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. If you like this episode, please share it with your friends and family. Go to my website, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com, and check out the merch store. I've got some crazy things there. Thanks, everybody. Have a great day.